And the rest of you, if you want to turn with me to Genesis chapter 22, it's going to be page 14 in the church Bible. I'm going to read the first 15 or 16 or 17 verses out of that. But before we do that, I just want us to look at these words real quickly. These are some powerful words as we get into a discussion this week and next week about the idea of worship and what it means to worship God. I'll bring you more than a song. A song in itself, it goes on to say, is not what you require. And then it gets to the point of it. You search much deeper within to the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. That is what worship is about. If I've got to summarize up what we're saying today, it's that last line. It's you're looking into my heart. That's what God desires. That's how we worship God, is through our hearts. It's not through through me speaking. It's not necessarily through worship music that is being played. Those can be things, avenues that can help us in worshiping God. But those in themselves are not worship. They can help us create an environment to do that. This morning I want us to look at a passage that probably, as you think we're talking about worship this morning, is a little bit of a weird passage for us to look at. But I noticed something a few months ago as I was reading through this passage that I thought was interesting. And then through some conversation I had earlier this week, I thought, you know what, we're going to talk about this Sunday. So if you go to chapter 22 in Genesis, it starts out like this. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham. And Abraham replied, here I am. And then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. Then he had when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, now get this, this is the part I think that really connects us to what we're talking about today and next week. He said to his servants in verse 5, stay here with the donkey while I and my son go over there. Now, that's not the important part. We will worship and then we will come back to you. In all the times I've read this story, I've never caught the fact, for whatever reason, that this was a form of worshiping God. I've always looked at it as a form of obedience to God. But never have I looked at it from the idea of God had called them to go and to worship Him. And this was how he was going to worship God, was through this great sacrifice. And then it goes on in verse 6. It says, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. And the two of them went together. Isaac spoke up. He asked his dad this question. He said, Father, he said, we have the wood, we have the fire, but we don't have a burnt offering. And Abraham answered him in verse 8 and said, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. And then many of you know how the story goes from there. Right? They go out and they set up this altar together. They build this fire. And then Abraham takes his son and prepares to sacrifice him as a burnt offering of obedience. But I'm also going to suggest out of worship to God. And then after this has happened and he's prepared Isaac for this incredibly brutal moment, the angel of the Lord speaks to him and says, Abraham, Abraham, stop. And Abraham sees in the brush, in the bushes, there's a ram that's there. And that will become the burnt offering. And then in verse 15, after we see Abraham's obedience to that point, in verse 15 it says that the angel of the Lord came to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. This is a really well-known passage of Scripture. And it certainly centers on God's test of Abraham's obedience and his test of Abraham's devotion to him. I would like to really suggest this morning that it goes beyond that and it talks about the ultimate act of worshiping our God, where Abraham holds nothing back from God. He's willing to give all that he has to God. Abraham in this story exhibits the true heart of worship. It's not about a song. It's not about any other thing that we do together to worship God. Those things can help create atmospheres. But that is not what God wants. God wants our heart in worship. We can certainly, I think, learn a lot from this story, and I hope that you will examine it with me and learn a little bit more about this idea of worship as we look at this today. It is so easy for us, I think, in our world, in our consumer world that we live in, to get caught up and focused in on me, on ourselves. We often find ourselves thinking things like, man, I would benefit so great from this purchase, or how easy would my life be if I just had this added material thing into my life? Or we tell ourselves, I work hard and I deserve these kind of things. And all these thoughts end up focusing us back on ourselves. And this kind of thinking not only is in our secular world, in the world that we're growing up and living in, but it also bleeds over into our spiritual lives. We read Scripture, we pray, we come to church, we sing songs. And though it all can be a wonderful piece to help engage us into worship, too oftentimes, through those things, Bible reading, prayer, coming to church, singing songs, we're looking for ways for how we can benefit, for how it makes us feel when we worship God. How can I get something out of this? How is this blessing me? How is it making me feel? Human nature is so me-focused, and that it draws us away from the true heart of worship when we allow that to bleed into our spiritual lives. The truth is that worship is not about me, and it's not about you in any way, shape, or form. It's not. Wholehearted worship is only about God. That's it. Do you think that Abraham was enjoying himself as he was worshiping? It said they were going to worship God. So we can't argue that they were going to worship, because it says very clearly, you guys watch the donkeys, we're going to worship God. You think he was enjoying that moment of worshiping God? It wasn't about him. It was about his obedience to God. It was about his willingness to acknowledge and honor and thank God and put everything else above God in that moment. True worship is the exact opposite of what our consumer society tells us. Our consumer world is about taking. It's about focusing in on me and what I want and all the stuff that I need to have. But worship is God-centered, and we have to remember that as we talk this morning. When the world says, how can this benefit me? Worship says, how can this benefit God? When the world says, how can this bless me? Worship says, how can this bless God? It's a different mindset that we have to begin to grasp and look at in our lives. It's a lifestyle that Abraham exhibited. A lifestyle that shows and says that no matter what, I'm going to follow Him, holding nothing back. No matter what He asks, I'm going to do it. I'm going to say yes. That is a heart of worship. I want us to look at three different thoughts this morning from this passage that we looked at that all tie in with what I believe is true worship. And the first one is this: when we truly worship, we remember God's faithfulness in past times. We remember God's faithfulness in past times. I want you to say that with me. We remember God's faithfulness in past times. In the life of Abraham, God had been very faithful to him throughout his life with keeping His promises to Abraham. He had promised Abraham a new nation. He brought Abraham new land. He promised Abraham a son in his old age. And God came through on all those promises to him. God is a faithful God. Amen? Isn't He? The book of Deuteronomy tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, it says this: know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love Him and keep His commandments. When we look through Scripture, when we look through the Bible, and specifically in the Old Testament, a lot of worship centers around God's faithfulness to the Israelites in the past. God's faithfulness in times past gives hope for the future. When we can look at the past and see God's faithfulness, it gives us great hope for the future. Look at the idea of the Passover. So the Passover is this feast that happens to remember how God faithfully delivered His people out of Egypt and gave them the land that He had promised them. It gave them hope. To be people with a true heart of worship, it's important to constantly be reminded of God's faithfulness in our lives. It's so easy to find ourselves in situations like Abraham and we forget about God's faithfulness. Like Israel so often forgot. I don't know if you remember when the people of Israel were in the desert and they had been delivered from Egypt at that point in time. And if you remember when that happened, there were multiple times where things would happen to them. They would run out of food. They'd run out of water. Just the basic common needs. And do you remember what their response was? They immediately forgot about God's faithfulness. They like panic about this. They would lose hope as a result of it. In our world, it's important to be reminded of God's faithfulness to us, both individually and as local churches, and as a body of Christ as a whole. That's why we set aside times to just remember. That's what we do when we take Holy Communion together. We're setting aside a time to remember when we observe Easter or Christmas, or when we have people share testimonies of God's faithfulness. It's all a time for us as believers to be able to remember the goodness of God and give us hope. Just think about it. Through the act of communion, we just took communion not too long ago together as a church. Through that act, we are reminded of God's ultimate act of faithfulness to us. The giving of His Son. We're reminded of Christ's sacrifice for us through His broken body and His shed blood. We're reminded of God's promise of redemption to each one of us and His faithfulness. to that promise. Every time we take communion, we're reminded of that. Our worship must be rooted in the faithfulness of God. We need to remember God's faithfulness in times past. The second thought I want us to look at is when we truly worship, we hold nothing back from God. We hold nothing back from God. Say that with me. We hold nothing back from God. This should be pretty evident to us as we're looking at this particular passage of Abraham and Isaac. Right? Think about the life of Abraham. God had given him so much. From Scripture, we know that Abraham was wealthy. We know that God had blessed him. We know that God had given him this ultimate promise of this beautiful son. And not just a son, but a great nation through that son. The amazing thing is this. And God does this a lot. Here's the amazing thing. God did it in the most unusual way. Abraham was nearly 100 years old when Isaac was born. Something that he never thought, Abraham never thought could possibly happen, happened. It sounded so ridiculous that beforehand Sarah laughed when an angel told her. When an angel told her that it was going to happen. But God came through in the most amazing way. After this, God had to know one thing from Abraham. And this is what he wanted to know. Who is more important to me? Who is more important to you? Your son or your God? Isaac or God? Through this whole story, we see this is being the test of Abraham's allegiance. In fact, I think if we look at the title of this, it says Abraham tested. Right? God's testing to see where his allegiance lies. Where is his heart? Where does it lie? With God or with his son? I just want you to take a moment and to think in your mind of the blessings that you have in your life. Think through the material blessings that you have. Think of the house that you live in. Think of the food and the water that we enjoy. Think of the vehicles that we have, the gadgets and electronics, the whatever it is. Think about the blessings that you have in your life, the treasures. But then think beyond that. Think of the greater treasures, the people that are part of your life. The family members, the spouses, the children, the parents, the significant others. Think of the friendships that God has given to you, those treasures. Now try to select your top possession or your top treasure. Out of all those things that you just thought of, try to figure out, on my human side, what is my top treasure that God has given to me? All right, are you tracking with me? Try to select that. What if God asked you to give that up? Just let that sink in. It just got real. What if that top treasure that God gave you, He asked you to give it up? You only have that treasure because of the goodness of God. Abraham only had Isaac because of the goodness of God. What if God told you to take it, to throw it on a bed of rocks, to douse it with gas and light her up, just to get rid of it, to let it go? See, God gives us great things in life. I think that each and every one of us would agree with that statement, that we are so blessed beyond belief as a people. I don't think that anybody here would probably disagree with that statement. But the temptation for us is to take the gift that God gives to us and to elevate them. Sometimes these things become even greater than God is in our lives. The gifts that God gives take the place of God sometimes in our lives. And we need to be very careful with that. He has given us so many good things with the purpose of bringing glory to Himself, with the purpose of worshiping Him. But instead, we worship the gifts. We hold them higher than the giver. Instead of worshiping Him, we put our time and our energy into preserving the gift. The gift becomes more important than the giver if we're not careful. God has called us to be willing to follow Him. No holds barred. Everything in. He wants us to be willing to give up the things that are most important to us. We see that in Abraham. Isaac had the potential of taking the place of God in Abraham's life. He was the son of a promise. He was the son through whom a great nation was founded. Scripture noted in the passage we read that Isaac was the son of whom he loved. God was testing Abraham by seeing what was number one in his life, God or God's gift. God wants to know that He's number one in our lives. He's the only one worthy to be number one in our lives. Everything else needs to be below. God must increase in our lives. We need to be willing to hold nothing back from God. So here's a question. Are you willing to sacrifice your Isaac? Right, we just took some time and thought about those treasures. Are you willing to sacrifice your Isaac on the altar? Are you willing to follow God, holding absolutely nothing back? That is the true heart of worship. I hope that each one of us desires to follow God better tomorrow than we are today. And that's where it starts for us. Making that decision to say, you know what, I've got to get rid of some stuff in my life. I've got to make God the priority. It's a step at a time. The third thought or idea that comes from this passage is, when we truly worship, we must trust that God will provide. Say it with me. Trust that God will provide. Trust that God will provide. I want you to look back at verse 5 with me. In verse 5, Abraham tells his servant, he says this, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." And then in verse 8, Abraham replies to Isaac's inquiry about the burnt offering, and he says, "My son, God will provide for Himself the lamb for a burnt offering." I believe that through this whole ordeal that we read about, we know about, that Abraham trusted that God was going to come through. He didn't know how he was going to come through, but somehow he knew that Isaac was going to be going back with him. Do you know why I believe that? Because look at the words in verse 5. "We will worship." We, that's plural. "We will come back to you." Abraham believed God would provide. He didn't believe he was going to leave his son on the altar that day. He was willing to. We didn't believe he was going to. "We will come back to you." This is going back to our first point, really. Abraham believed in God's faithfulness. God had promised to Abraham that Isaac would be the son whom a great nation would spring. And even though Abraham was willing to go the distance, willing to lay his son on the altar, he believed that God would come through somehow, some way. Didn't know how that would be, but he believed it. Abraham had the faith to trust God to provide. In our lives, God asks us to do things that we do not understand. All the time. He will ask us to step out into the unknown and to trust Him that He'll come through for us, just like He did for Abraham. He'll ask us to follow Him in ways that others are going to look at and say, "That's crazy. You make no sense at all." That's where God shows up most. Think about the story of Noah. Go back to the Old Testament again, right? The story of Noah. There was no floods before Noah. And here's this dude building a big old boat for a flood that nobody knew about. God asks us to do things all the time. All the time. That don't make sense. Maybe for you this morning, it's a lifestyle change. Something needs to change in your life, the way you're living your life. Maybe it's a change of jobs or scenery. I don't know what it might be for you right now. But He asked us to take steps of faith, believing that He's going to catch us. Like Abraham, we need to trust that God will provide for us. Abraham had no idea how God would get him out of this mess. He had no idea that an angel would call out just in the nick of time, "Abraham, Abraham, don't do it." That he would turn and he would find a ram in the bush. But he trusted that God would provide somehow, some way, as he obediently trusted God. This must be our attitude today. Must be our attitude every day. Trusting that no matter what, that God is going to provide for us. God wants so desperately for us to worship Him. Not just with our words, but with our lives and with our hearts. He wants it to be a heart of worship. He wants for us to find the true heart of worship within ourselves. A heart that worships, that does not seek what we can get out of it, but how we can elevate God through it. We have to remember, worship is not about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. Worship is 100% about God. And elevating God, recognizing who God is. That's what worship is. He wants us to remember His faithfulness in times past. He wants us to hold nothing back from Him. He wants us to trust Him in the future. As we close, I want to invite each one of us just to accept God's challenge to us today. The same challenge that Isaac had, or that Abraham had, right? In each of our lives, God has given us Isaac challenges, or will give us Isaac challenges. Challenges that we think are so outlandish, so extreme, it just doesn't make sense. But we need to be obedient through them. And in that obedience, it's a heart of worship, like Abraham had. We just look at Abraham's Isaac moment. If you think of the New Testament, remember the young rich ruler? And his Isaac moment was really, would he give everything to the poor or would he not? That was his Isaac moment. In our lives, we all face Isaac moments as well. Are we willing to accept it? Are we willing to make God number one? Are we willing to make sacrifices to worship Him? Are we willing to hold nothing back from God and trust that He's going to provide? That's what we call worship. That's what we're called to do. That's how we truly worship God. When we accept this challenge, we'll find the true heart of worship. When God becomes number one in our lives, when He is the center of our lives, like Abraham, He will bless us beyond all measure. Remember how the story ended? Verse 22, so chapter 22, said this, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have withheld your son, have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." We will be blessed as we worship our God in complete obedience. Let's pray together. Lord God, as so clear in your word this morning, worshiping you, being obedient to you is oftentimes very difficult, very scary, and full of uncertainties. Help us, Lord God, as people, because the human nature of each one of us is to be more worried about us and to be more dependent on ourselves, and help us to set those things aside, Lord God, and to truly focus in on being obedient to you and therefore worshiping you through our obedience. Help our hearts to be focused on you, acknowledging who you are. Help us to be able to acknowledge who you are, but by trusting you, by looking at and identifying your faithfulness in the past and trusting you for the future. Lord God, we come together every Sunday, and for some of us, we probably need to ask for forgiveness because we come and we think that worship is about us. And it's not. It doesn't matter what style the music is. It doesn't matter how the lights are. None of it matters. The only thing that matters in worship is that you are elevated, that you are recognized, that you are loved through us. So Lord God, help us to set aside all those things that can become distractions to us and become divisive amongst us, and to focus in on worshiping you with all we are. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.